We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Sure.
That's the magic of it, really, isn't it?
Just an hour and a half of silence now.
We don't have Kieran fucking keeping us down. We can talk about whatever we want.
I've always said Kieran has shit opinions.
Yeah, same. Yeah, nonsense.
I haven't said it to him, but I've always said it.
Well, he'll hear this if we keep this in, and so we're saying it indirectly to him.
I don't think he listens to the podcast.
I'd say he listens to it on repeat. I'd say it's all he listens to. He's probably, the only listens we get.
He's got a laptop, the tablet, the phone, everything going, getting those views up.
He's just a narcissist, like listening back to himself, like, fuck, and that was such a good intro. Oh my God.
Comments under different accounts saying, great point, Kieran.
Yeah. I know, yeah. And like we talk about like the popular football teams, and then he always has to put in some shit about Palace at the end.
Ugh.
I mean, if anyone was listening, that's when they'd log off.
Oh yeah. I mean, does he even listen to the Palace talk?
It's fucking Conor Gallagher, like
most overrated fucking player. Like
you're playing for England now, like
oh my God, like He's such a glory hog as well. He's a stats patter.
Ooh.
He's a bit like he's like a shit player that has good stats. Bruno.
Ooh. Yeah, I know what you mean. He is a shit player, we should say. Are you watching this Ireland match?
I was watching a bit of the first half there, yeah. I don't even know what the score is.
It's nil all. I don't get the hype. I really don't get the hype.
Ireland?
Yeah, you'd swear your man Kenny is a fucking messiah. Like, I mean,
I was watching him there, and I said it actually that I think this is the longest passing move I've ever seen Ireland play ever. And it was just kept going out to James McLean, who struggles to control it with like his two fucking sledgehammers for feet. Like, it's like the ball comes to him and he's never seen a football before, but like he catches on quick.
Yeah.
So he's just flailing around, he catches control of the ball and then passes it back. It went on for 2 or 3 minutes, like, and then at the end it goes out for like a throw in or something.
Yeah. This is it. I mean, I understand it's, you know, it's an evolution of how the team play, but I don't really see the benefit. People are like, it's so much more entertaining. It's so much more this. It's really positive. I don't see much. I would rather be playing hoofball and make it to the World Cup.
No. I'm finished with hoofball. It's enough. Like, I mean, we took hoofball as far as any team could take hoofball.
I think there's a certain, I don't know. There's a certain skill to making hoofball work, though, with fucking John Walters and Shane Long up front, you know?
None there exactly is.
Big men.
They're like...
And, I think that's not respected enough.
It's fine.
Well, we're here fucking watching Callum O'Dowda. Like, jeez Louise. Get rid of that. Tonk. Bring back... McGoldrick, an absolute hoofball up to him.
No, as bad as it is, I still prefer the hoofball, and hoofball, just leave it in the past. Like, it's finished. We're not going back to that.
Well, currently we're playing Ogbene up front.
Who I know, I don't know.
Fucking Rochdale. Are. Like, is that the best we can do?
Yeah.
I just can't believe that's the best we can do.
It's stunning. Meanwhile, fucking Uruguay there, like 3 million people in Croatia, same population as Ireland, making like lads like Suarez and Modric. And here we are. Like,
I actually didn't know that about Uruguay, that they only had 3 or 4 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Well, no,
two World Cups for them then.
Unless we ban GAA Like go back a century and just ban it and make everyone play football.
I know.
Or soccer, I should say.
It's like people want to preserve Irish tradition of GA. But no, though.
Yeah, I mean, GAA is cack.
I don't like it. I don't like the culture of GA. I don't like the coverage people. It receives. Don't like the people who play it. Don't like the people who watch it.
I don't like the shape of the balls. I don't like... I mean, basically, hurling is just the most primitive sport you could imagine. Throw the tiniest ball and sticks and just beat the hell out of the ball as best you can. Is there rules in hurling? Is there actually rules?
Like? There's goals and points in it, yeah. the fucking ads for GA then as well on RTE, like, this is major. Or like, this is the biggest stage of them all. The under-18s third place playoff. Fucking, it's like Skeena Skull, like. And it's on RTE2, and it's like, we have two big teams playing now, and unfortunately, their star player, he got a job in Australia, so yeah, he's gone, and the other one, he got married, so he can't play this weekend. Welcome to the biggest stage of them all.
I mean, the fact that Croke Park is like one of the top capacity stadiums in Europe is crazy. That's insane to me. And you've just got these butchers playing every week there, like, and fucking like 100,000 people go to see it. Are we the fools for not getting in on it? I don't think so.
Even as a child being forced to play GA, I was like, this is a bit shit, isn't it?
Yeah, I never. I think I was asked to go to the Skeena Skull once, and I just said, no, I have no interest. And that was fucking sacrilege, like.
Oh, I know, yeah. Sure, it's even worse out here in Barrow, like, not playing fucking GA. It was like, it was like you said you wanted to take up fucking body painting or something, like. You might as well have been, like, fucking Flanders' parents.
I mean, I'm just glad my parents aren't cultures, I guess.
Wow. You're fair. You are a culture.
No. Am I?
You are. It's like you don't think you are, but like anyone in a city would think you are, and anyone from Dublin would think anyone from anywhere other than Dublin is a culture.
Well, when people hear I'm from Cork, as in County Cork, they're like, no, you're not. They're like, you must be posh Cork, are you? Like, I don't know what that means, but no.
I don't
talk like I'm from the country, of as in the countryside in Clonakilty.
Yeah, I don't either. But I'm as far out in the fucking country as you can get.
But that's because our parents aren't cultures.
But I'd say they would call themselves cultures.
No. I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into this because I'm going to piss someone off, or I'm going to say, well, I don't talk like this person, and then they're going to get upset. Yeah. But anyway. Sure no one listens anyway, do they?
No, like, cultures, they're still on the wireless, like.
Still on the wireless, yeah. Just to give you an update, still nil all, 49 minutes, nothing has happened.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Thank God for that.
Should we... I don't even want to talk about the Premier League. It's international at the minute, so for anyone listening, this is the international break. We're recording right in the middle of it. We're not too interested in Ireland, and there's nothing happening Premier League wise. It's an international break, so you weren't here last time.
I'm just looking at the scores from last weekend. Chelsea drew at Burnley. Tuchel found out again. This guy has the biggest fucking chancer in the league, I swear to God. His day will come. Day will come. Man City handled Man United anyway. Fucking embarrassment. Arsenal beat Watford. Should have been 4 or 5 nil. West Ham beat Liverpool. The wheels are coming off the Klopp Express. Will he last much longer?
Is that an actual question?
Realistically, like, he's taken him as far as he can. And he got a good rub of the green as well to win the league when he did.
You don't believe anything you're saying right now.
He got a rub of the green now, come on.
What rub of the green did he get?
Sure, the fucking state of that team that season when they won the league, they kept losing games at the end of it. Like, they fell apart. Like, they were on the precipice of failing, of letting it all slip away.
No, they weren't. They were nowhere near. They're sure they were fucking like 20 points ahead of Man City. They were an unstoppable juggernaut of a football team. There was no stopping them. And then when they won, they clearly went on the piss.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
And lost numerous games after that. But sure, who cares? All they had to play for was a fucking record amount of points. Sure, who cares?
Going unbeaten?
No, they were already beaten by Watford.
Oh, well, you know, it's a tough thing to do. Not for everyone. Not for everyone.
Yeah, it's like 16 years ago at this point.
I'm hanging on. Hanging on to that.
Yeah, look, I mean, in terms of Liverpool and Klopp, it's a tricky one.
Mane, Van Dijk, Henderson, Firmino, Alisson, all look washed at this point. And you're going to have to get replacements for all of them.
Yeah. That's one little thing is I do feel like after spending the Coutinho money, they didn't really do a whole lot of recruitment. They brought in Jota, they brought in Thiago. Okay. Thiago is injury prone, so letting Wijnaldum go and not getting a replacement, there's always going to be question marks around that. I mean, I suppose they have eight central midfielders, but I mean, Fabinho picks up injuries. Thiago is injury prone. Henderson always picks up an injury. Harvey Elliott fucking was snapped in half. Curtis Jones, I mean, you don't want to hang your hat on Curtis Jones, really, do you? And James Milner is 34. Oxlade-Chamberlain isn't very good. And Keita is, also made of twigs.
Yeah.
So it's a tricky one.
It's a gaping hole there. Yeah.
A big gaping hole. Wijnaldum played fucking all the time, and they opted not to sign him for whatever reason.
See, now they're going to have to sign midfielders, and they're going to also have to sign maybe an attacker and possibly defenders as well. So they have to get very lucky with the players they sign, just like they got very, very lucky with their gambles paying off previously.
Okay. So that's bollocks.
Tell me what's bollocks about that.
Okay. Right. Let's do this, right? Because this has been the elephant in the room for a while. You made the point there fucking about a year ago that Liverpool got lucky with their signings, right?
They had the rub of the green.
Stop saying that. So I think your point was, you know, they signed all these players, and like, what are the odds that Robertson turns out to be one of the best left backs in the world? Wijnaldum turns out to be an incredible central midfielder, and all these lads, Salah breaking records, and you're saying that's luck?
Yeah.
But by what you're saying, that means that every successful signing ever is luck.
It's a bit of luck in them, a bit of luck in all.
So
I mean, look at even Real Madrid signing. Same season, they signed Ronaldo. They also signed Kaká, who was like fucking World Player of the Year before or something like that. Mm-hmm. Kaká went to absolute shit, was completely useless, and didn't do a jot for Real Madrid. Ronaldo went down and was like the best player of all time for him. Well, there's, you know, signing the best player in the world sometimes doesn't work out.
Sure, yeah, okay, I get that. But do you not think the Real Madrid way of doing things is just sign a ton of players and hope for the best, really? So if you sign 20 good players, 10 of them should be good, and then there is your team. right? Kind of like Man City in the last 10 years, you know, buying all these fucking like Wilfred Bony and all these kind of guys.
They remind me of a sneakerhead, you know, someone who buys tons of different shoes, like really nice shoes for like 100 euro that they might wear once or something, and yeah, they might throw away. And they're like, ah, they're great shoes, but the other shoes are slightly nicer today, so I'm going to wear those shoes and never touch the other shoes. And they can just do it because they have the money to do it.
But do you think Man City got lucky with Aguero?
They, as lucky as they got with Aguero, like they were unlucky with like, who's a shit player? Like Negredo or Negredo, whatever his name was. Or any of these other strikers who they paid big money for. That didn't, Balotelli. Fucking, yeah. He could have been a great player. Didn't work out for him.
I don't really get your point. Are you, so you're saying they were lucky or they were more unlucky with the bad ones?
Yes.
Fuck sake. Listen, what I'm saying is I think the recruitment, Liverpool's recruitment was outstanding. I don't think they got lucky in that.
You're going to see how lucky they got now when they're trying to replace these players and they can't do it.
It's not luck, man. It's good recruitment and good coaching. Like, otherwise, anyone could fucking manage a team.
Yeah.
You're fucking... A
manager could only do so much, really. A manager picks the 11.
Listen, when there was very raised eyebrows when Sadio Mane signed for fucking 30 million. There was very raised eyebrows when Wijnaldum signed and was converted into a midfielder. There was many raised eyebrows around Robertson and all these kind of players when Alexander Arnold started playing ahead of Klein. Many eyebrows raised. Klopp knew what he was doing.
Yeah. If there's a sure thing in football and transfers, then Real Madrid would never miss or Man City would never miss. But they do miss.
No.
Because these are teams with unlimited resources and they sign the best players in the world and it doesn't always work. And
But Liverpool also had their stinkers. Naby Keita is a bit of a stinker. He was nearly 60 million. Hardly plays.
Yeah.
So were they unlucky?
Well, I mean, how good is the fucking recruitment then? If they identified this guy for 70 million and he was shite.
Excellent, because I would say probably 80% of their signings have been wildly successful.
Well, why aren't 100% of them?
Because there's always a risk when you sign a player that shite.
Is there?
Yeah, but that's not luck. That's down to many factors. Many factors.
What was the factor, so?
That Naby Keita is injuries.
Well, that could happen to any player. And it didn't happen to the key players that Liverpool signed for big money, like Salah, Mane, Alisson, and Van Dijk, or whoever, when they went on to win the league. They did not get injured at critical moments.
But sure, that's the case with any player. That's the thing, like injuries.
Yeah, exactly. It could happen to any player, and it didn't happen to five or six players for Liverpool who they signed for big money.
Van Dijk was their biggest signing, and sure, he was out for a year.
Yeah, but that's after they won the league.
Ah, for fuck's sake.
And they haven't won it since.
It's only been a few weeks, man. He's only back a few weeks. We'll agree to disagree on. But if people could let me know that I'm not losing my mind here. I mean, I think what you're implying is crazy, to be honest. I mean, like I said, was Henry just potluck, you know, for Arsenal?
It doesn't count with Wenger's sign. He knew what he was doing.
He did, yeah. Right.
Until he didn't.
So, just a quick update. You can cut this if you need to, but still nil all.
Fuck's sake.
Luxembourg. Is this is this the future drawing to Luxembourg?
It's the present, yeah. Fuck.
And you know what I hear a lot is when I like look, I don't feel very strongly about Kenny In or Kenny Out, to be honest. But when I say it's not really that good, it's probably not good enough, we should be doing better. People say, well, who else would you get in? That's not my fucking job. That's the FAI's job. Just because there's no one on the top of my head that's better than Kenny doesn't mean he's the right man for the job.
I mean, to be fair, like, who the fuck was Kenny before he joined Ireland anyway? He was, like, managing League of Ireland, or and then he went on to manage, like, Ireland's under-21s. Like, there are a million managers like that out there, so...
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying Kenny out.
No. Look, leave him in. I don't give a shit, to be honest. I don't watch Ireland anymore. What I have been watching a lot of is a... like old Eamon Dunphy.
Oh, yeah.
They're hard to beat.
They are hard to beat. Like, sure, he used to talk shite, a bit like me, but he was doing it on the TV and really winding people up.
Yeah, he got paid a lot of money for it. Definitely drunk a lot of the time. And so many clangers as well. So many F-bombs and...
Oh, yeah.
Numerous bombs.
Bombs. The RT seems to like every so often a pundit would just say something fucking outrageous, like Graham Souness saying someone got he's absolutely raped him there or something like that. Yeah. These lads, they forget they're on camera.
I'd say they do, yeah.
I'd say when Dunphy and the lads were on, they used to put like a big see-through fucking one-way mirror in front of the cameras, like they have an interrogation room, so they just think that they're in the pub, that they're not on TV at all, so they just talk absolute fucking madness.
Yeah,
not even football. Sure, Dunphy would be going on about the Irish economy and stuff.
No, I mean, Giles, Brady, and Dunphy was absolute prime Irish TV.
Yeah, it was just fucking lads in the corner of the pub, like.
Yeah. A bit like what we were doing.
Yeah.
Given our outdated opinions. misinformed to the top.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Well. I mean, I'm not even watching the Ireland game and I'm saying Kenny out, so.
Yeah, we're not even watching this, like, and I'm not watching it. I'm just listening to you tell me what the score is and giving my opinion on it.
I know. And sure, by the time this comes out, everyone will know how the match ended. Which is a mind-boggling situation, really, when you think of the future. Like, how do I say this? Like, is the future already written? Like, is it destiny that this match is going to end 0-0 or 1-0 or whatever? I think it kind of is.
You believe in free will?
Yeah. How do I word this? I believe that, you know, we all make our own choices, but it's inevitable that those choices will be made, if that makes sense.
That doesn't... No.
No.
That's
no.
Like the two opposite things.
I know. See, like, I don't feel like I'm locked in a box of destiny and...
Yeah,
I can't make my own decisions, but I think like eventually, like this game will end. This game is going to end, and whatever the score is, we'll know it by the time people hear this back. But we don't know it now. But it's inevitable that there will be the end of the game. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm not worried about it.
I mean, I guess.
Scrap that. I fall down a rabbit hole here and I'm not getting out of it.
I know. Do you believe in like alternate realities and or like multiverses and that kind of thing?
No.
Yeah.
Kieran does, I think. A lot of tosh.
What were we talking about this before?
I think... me and Kieran were kind of talking about ghosts last time.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah.
And Kieran told a fairly underwhelming tale of
I was convinced
paranormal activity.
I was very convinced. I had to check under my bed when I heard it.
Yeah. No, it's this thing of, I'm not just picking on Kieran now, but a really common thing is people saying, oh, I felt a presence. I felt like someone was watching me.
It's like someone walking by just farted or something. Like,
yeah. I'll tell you one thing. If you stare at someone, stare next time you're on a bus or something, stare at the back
of their head. No. Oh, at the back of their head. Okay.
Yeah, don't. And see if they sense it, because I fucking guarantee they won't.
Sometimes I do think it is weird. Like, if I'd be up on like the second floor of a house or something and just looking out the window onto the street, and someone walking by below turns their head and looks straight at me, and it's like, what the fuck? How did they know I was looking at them?
I've never had that.
You never experience. Had that? Or no. Like, on, if you were even to go back to the bus example, like if you were on the bus and you're just driving along and you're sitting down looking out the window and you come up to like a bus stop or something and you're just looking at people, and then suddenly someone looks up at the bus stop and looks straight at you, like as if they, like right, total eye contact. You never had that?
No,
and then you have to like look away to make it look like you weren't staring, even though you were staring.
I see in that case, I would say if I was looking out the window and someone stared straight at me, I would probably think maybe I wasn't looking straight at them, and once they turned towards me, I probably looked at them then, you know. Mm-hmm. But it might have felt like I was staring at them. The awkwardness of the situation got the better of me. And I'm like, oh my God, they're fucking psychic. They knew. But yeah.
Yeah.
I've got some good news for you.
Oh yeah.
1-0 Ireland.
Oh, nice.
Probably subject to VAR check.
Oh, great.
Shane Duffy nods it in from 2 yards.
It's like, this is the evolution of Ireland. We've moved away from football.
This is what Shane I'm fucking Duffy. Saying. Like, how many goals has Shane Duffy scored for Ireland in the last 2 years?
Probably like 50% of our goals, even if that's only like 2 goals.
Yeah. So, set piece, Shane Duffy. Yeah. Evolution, my hat.
It's a useful feather in the cap to be very experienced in hoofball, so that when you're playing your free-flowing fancy football, when things go to shit, like it's a bit of an advantage for you. Like if a ball is lofted into the box, you've still got lads like Shane Duffy in there who are just, you know, gonna go compared to like fucking Barcelona. If like someone was huffing a ball and like Puyol and lads in there trying to get a header, just, you know, you just put your hand on their head, keep them down.
Yeah, it's
It's the new evolution. It's like a perfect synergy of old and new.
Yeah. And look, I like possession football as much as the next bloke, but I just think our players are too shit for it.
Do you know what I saw recently was someone saying how when people look back, they'll see the Madrid team that won like 3 Champions Leagues in a row or whatever, or 4 Champions Leagues, they'll see them as like the best team of all time. And I'm like, anyone with fucking eyes knows that Madrid team was not the best team of all time, especially not since a Barcelona team of only a few years prior was miles better, like a perfect team. And I mean, they didn't win 3 Champions Leagues in a row, but they were the better team, and they never played a game where it looked like they were not the better team. Even their losses, even like when like Arsenal played them in Champions League and beat them 2-1, they did that on like the skin of their teeth, really. Like it was a fucking arduous task to do that. It was like an impossible feat to beat Barcelona. And sure, didn't Barcelona beat them in return, like when Van Persie got sent off. But like that Madrid team, they were just fucking crossing the ball and hoping for the best for half it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, just because they won what, 3 in a row, someone said they were the best. ludicrous. Who said that? Name and shame them.
Oh, just some fucking idiots on Reddit.
Ah. Gobshite.
Yeah. Didn't that Barcelona team win like two Champions Leagues?
It won. They won two with Pep, and then Enrique won another with Neymar and Suarez. Even though Pep's team was better, like even though they had Pedro and fucking Abidal and a few other lads who were a bit, you know, weren't great, but like, and Pinto playing the cup games.
Yeah.
That was hilarious how shit Pinto was watching him play in that best team of all time and just being happy to be there and always getting into fights.
Yeah.
Great memories.
I kind of hope Xavi does well as Barcelona manager, but I'm also enjoying Barcelona being really shit.
It is always nice to see a team that was at the very pinnacle collapse, because it gives hope to everyone else that, you know, nothing, no matter how bad like a fucking reign of terror is, like Man United's fucking 20 years of it, no matter how bad it is, any team can collapse.
But I mean, they'll bounce back. They have too much going for them. You know, they have all the infrastructure and all the
resources. It's like the infrastructure isn't going anywhere, and there's still so much prestige attached to Barca that like talented young players are still going to want to go to Barcelona, even if they got relegated. Like, players still went to Juventus when they got relegated for match fixing, and Juventus are not as big as Barcelona.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice that they're not stealing our best players anymore. Maybe it didn't happen to you.
Well, it did. Kleb. Fabregas, which was the worst one.
Oh, yeah. Jesus, of course. Yeah.
What else did they sign? No, they signed a couple others. Song was not, you know, one of our best players, but still, it was annoying that they signed them.
Vermaelen, actually.
Yeah, that was kind of... He wasn't like a... That was still sucked to see him go.
You never replaced Vermaelen. That was the start of the downfall.
When Vermaelen only had like one good season and he got injured and like... we were missing... He's like, oh, he's the solution to the defensive problems. He had like one good season, was injured for the rest and never the same player again.
I'd love to see... your league position with Vermaelen and then without Vermaelen.
I know. Oh, sure, fucking Henry went to Barca.
Oh, yeah. That didn't really feel like a big deal to me at the time. But looking back, that must have been an outrageously big deal.
I mean, everyone knew he had to go eventually and he went to Barca and won a Champions League. It's funny how, like, Henry, Eto and all these lads, as great as they were, weren't as good as like Pedro in Pep's system. It's like Pep's system was better than the best, than fucking Thierry Henry and Eto and lads doing whatever they want, and Ibrahimovic. It was just like, if you can play Pep's system, it like you can be fucking Pedro and look better than Thierry Henry. So anyone who's like, people always going on about Pep couldn't do it unless he had a ton of money and the best players. It's like, Pep could go to fucking Forest Green and be in the fucking Champions League within a few seasons. Like,
yeah. I think he's a bit of a psychopath underneath it all, to be honest.
Oh, he's a nutcase. Absolute fucking freak, I'd say.
Yeah. Connor, I've got more good news. Great news, in fact.
Luxembourg equalized.
No. It's 2-0. And Ireland just scored a goal, which was FIFA-esque.
Oh, really?
It's a makeup. Yeah. A little ball, nice little kind of ball in behind the defense by Hendrick. And then someone, I'm not sure who, some man did a little back heel to the oncoming Ogbene. And he tapped it into basically an empty net. Beautiful.
Jeez. Really.
So maybe we'll cut out all that shit I said.
I cut out the bits I said. It seems like it's just you talking.
Yeah. No, it was a very nice goal, a very new style of Ireland goal, I would say.
We're never going back to hoofball, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, they've had one hoofball goal and one tiki-taka goal.
Which did you prefer?
The tiki-taka goal was great. Yeah. It was wonderful. But look, 2-0 to Luxembourg. We should be beating Luxembourg anyway. It's one of the smallest countries I know of.
They're one of the smallest countries I know of.
Yeah. Andorra is smaller, but Luxembourg is pretty damn tiny. Probably only has the one town, I'd say, and it's probably called Luxembourg. I don't know. I really don't.
Do you know which is the smallest country in Europe?
Would it be Andorra?
No.
It's not. I don't. No.
Vatican City is like the smallest by far.
Yeah.
Okay, next smallest. Next smallest after Vatican, because they don't count. And
Andorra.
And after Monaco are the next smallest, but like those are just like cities. Yeah. Like
they're like, Andorra is the one that's between Spain and France, isn't it? That little tiny one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. That, no?
The smallest country would be like San Marino. And then Liechtenstein. Okay. Which is like nearly 2.5 times the size of San Marino. And then Malta, which is like twice the size of Liechtenstein. And then Andorra.
Yes.
Is like nearly twice the size of Liechtenstein. More than twice the size of Liechtenstein. And then Luxembourg. Like Andorra is 468 kilometers squared. And Luxembourg is 2,586 kilometers squared.
Jesus.
So it's like, fucking, what's that?
That's five, six I, times. Like, I look at Andorra on a map and I'm like, sure, I could probably walk that in a few hours, but
that's like walking from Cork to Dublin and back.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, look, I can't be right all the time.
Yeah.
Right, what time are we at?
21:21.
That's about 45 minutes. I'm just very conscious that you have to drive for like an hour after this.
Yeah, that's all right.
Do you want to stop, or is there?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, that's fair. Kieran fucking let us down bad there now.
Well, we all have to let each other down at some point.
I'm skipping the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
Grand. That's grand. I honestly don't care.
Well, Coy Big.
Yeah. Coy Big. And
next week Arsenal are playing Liverpool. And Arsenal could overtake Liverpool or be level on points with Liverpool if they beat them.
What day is that?
I think it's Saturday.
Interesting. Yeah. Because that's the day of the Gats.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we should probably watch that if it's available. I don't even know.
If
it's a 3 o'clock, it's probably not, but I'd imagine they've made that one watchable.
God, can you imagine if Arsenal beat Liverpool now?
Could happen. They're flying high. And Liverpool are not. And Henderson is injured now as well, so fuck's sake.
Yep.
No midfield.
Sure, look, Arsenal, they've got the rub of the green at the moment.
It's very true. They do.
Okay, Coy Big.
All right, yeah.
Coy Gunners. Coy Kieran.
Yeah.
And good night. Seattle. Right.
You've been listening to the Put Them Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.